So again, the questions that come to light are people who are saying, look, we understand water is precious. The only thing is, how can we avoid paying for it? If A, we're not getting it. And the answer I'm sure the person is going to get is, once they get the water, they'll fix the mains. And they're going to fix the sewage, and you'll be able to get water from the tap, hopefully at a reasonable rate, when they go to the Fair Trading Commission. Yep. So, look, in the coming weeks and months and in the coming years, I would say, I don't know, 5 to 7 years, the country is going to have to brace itself for something a lot of people have not experienced in their lifetime, which is a cost for things that we are accustomed to treating as being free.
Yeah, free, correct.
And there is going to be even more reason for us to take a look carefully at our finances and how we manage it,
correct,
both at an individual level and at a country level. Because I listened to the Prime Minister talking about the discussions with the IMF and talking about opening up finance from other agencies. Opening up finance from other agencies mean borrowing. Borrowing means you will have to pay it back. Whether the interest payment is 1% or 5%, whatever the interest payment is, we will have to work out a payment schedule, which means we have to start earning money to pay our loans. And that is what we will have to focus on even more in the coming years. How we make money. And we can't make it from taxing people, because it didn't work. It did not work.
We saw that it didn't work.
And that is the key. If we tried something and it doesn't work, what are you going to try?
Yeah, but that's what you said. What you said, yes, no, it's exactly what he said when, you know, last week in paper, when Mr. Lashley said that the budget was brainless, and he said for years you were taxing people, and I heard Dr. Clyde Master say you cannot tax yourself out of a recession. And you are going to mean that for the last 10 years, you never realize that you cannot tax them with the recession. You have bought Barbara's ways, right? And you're going to tell me it's brainless, because I believe when you put great minds together, you try to get things moving or going to a path upwards. But if you have things going in decline, I ask myself, is this brainless, or is this that you are arrogant, or you just don't know? Because if you're going to tell me the budget is brainless, and you look at the last budget that you were on, you'll define or clarify to me, explain to me where I'm lost, because you try to bring budgets to turn or spin the economy or get on the path of going forward. So when people say things like you're brainless, explain to me what the other way I'm going. Because if it's just brainless and you were there for a couple of years and what you did were opposite and it carried you to a decline, tell me what is passing brain, because I'm lost.
So there are people in the party, the Democratic Labour Party, when they were in government, who disagreed with the policies that were being brought, but voted them into being in the end, and
precisely,
and watched it fall apart.
That's what I always ask myself. When you see as a member of parliament, you stand outside of parliament, you see you don't agree with something, and the bill comes to being voted on, I always say, can you say, make yourself absent?
Absent, exactly, exactly. And members of parliament have abstained before. As a matter of fact, in that budget that Dr. Haynes and his colleagues objected to, three of the members abstained from the vote.
Correct. Yeah.
That's why the budget didn't pass.
Yeah. So that's why when these guys sit down and
take a toilet break. You know, go to the bathroom for some water.
Precisely. The record will show that you did not vote, so you have something with it. Because I told you what to know, the same form. Oh, law. People still don't understand it, because they see people notice, they still use codes. Yeah. People, they don't understand it. So I have to tell what's going on. So it makes me wonder when people say brainless. It makes me wonder.
It's politics.
Are you saying, when you say these things, people in the outside world, you say, we say people in the outside world, here, this is the South Coast social problem. When people see what we're going through, then you're going to tell us that this is brainless. It makes me wonder, do business really have brains?
They do. It's colored by their political obligations. So it's good to hear you, and hopefully we will chat again. This is Down to Brass Tacks. The WhatsApp message said, good morning, Mr. Johnson. I thought the new tax on the water bill was for garbage collection and not an increase in the water rate. Yes, sir or madam, it is. And it has been said before that it is a tax that is put, it is shown on the water bill. A portion of it goes to water, a portion of it goes to garbage and sewage. It is not an increase in the water rates. That's why I made the comment to the caller that, as far as I know, the Water Authority either is or should be under the Fair Trading Commission, and any rate increase would have to go there. The reason why people are making the comment is because it is going to be reflected on their water bill. So therefore, if their water bill before was $80, they will have $80 plus $45, which is $125. And the question that was being asked by the person on the line was if they chose not to pay the $45 if the water would be cut off. As I said, I couldn't understand. And here somebody is telling me again that it is not a water tax. I am aware of the fact that it is not a water tax. Listen, the people who listen to this program, right? I want you to appreciate something. The same way I listen to the program. There are people who call who genuinely do not know and would like to know. So you try to correct them. There are people who are trying to make an issue because they do not support the move by the party in power. So don't try to explain it to them every time because they will not listen to you. Those who do not know or those who are confused about what it is will hear the first time and they will understand. Trust me on that one. That's why sometimes I look at messages and I don't respond to it. And sometimes when I think that the message is a genuine one, I treat everyone as genuine and I respond at least once. If it keeps coming back, I know the person picking at me, or they're picking at the tax, or they're making a political point, which they're free to do too. It's still free. Brass Tax, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Well, first thing, let me apologize to you. You don't have to make a comment when I finish, right?
Okay.
I am sorry that the persons who would email you, give you threats, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You will know what I'm speaking about, what you spoke about on Friday.
Right.
I believe those persons don't really understand sales and service between countries or islands. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe that they understand what you would call immigrants. They don't understand how it is supposed to work. It is simple as this. This is the best way to put it. If we have every person on this island don't leave and don't accept any type of immigrants, and we stay here for 100 years, we will be out of existence because probably our genetic structure would change.
And start inbreeding.
Correct. Yeah. Listen, a lot of people seem to don't understand how this is work. It was intended to be like this. All of us would stay at one place. All of us would become so closely genetically that we won't be able to survive each other. We don't know what we will look like. We don't know if we will exist at all. So some sort of immigrants must somehow or the other go to some island, some country, etc., to change that gene pool genetically. That's the most simplest way you could put it. Now, you would have persons who would don't like probably the particular persons that are speaking on certain issues and topics, but my thing why I'm calling to apologize to you for those persons is this. If you find that because of your opinions, I am saying to you that do not let it deter you, because I have heard you this morning having no opinion. Listen to me. When I am aware very well that the intelligent person that you are have an opinion, I would prefer to say I prefer not to give my opinion. Because I know you got one. So anyway, just put aside that there. And the reason why I wanted to talk to you on Saturday, but I didn't get you to you because I wanted to tell you that off here. But as they say, praise in public, punish in private.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm praising you in public because if I listen to the show, Sanis, and I'm not aware of certain things, I can still pick up a little piece here and there. Mm-hmm. And it's knowledge. Mm-hmm. And I know all those persons who are listening, the same thing happened to those who do not know. Mm-hmm. On the aspect of when you read the emails about certain things, when certain persons calling and genuinely do not know, there's nothing wrong with you going over the same thing again.
Again, exactly. Some people may not be listening at the time. Right. Yeah.
If I do not listen today,
yeah,
I may hear it tomorrow.
Agreed.
So there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Now, I wasn't going to make any contribution, but since that gentleman came to talk about he don't understand, I'm not knocking the gentleman, but as truly a lot of people do not understand why people are complaining about paying this $150. Now, let me put a little more on point why some people generally do not want to pay. Persons who still have pit toilets, persons who wasn't connected to the sewage
system
situation at no time at all, mm-hmm, they weren't getting no benefits from it. And now, because of the situation, they are finding it fairly hard to accept, although they know that everybody have to put something to contribute to the situation that we are in. Mm-hmm. So please give those person a little chance to understand that even if a little sometimes they can pay something may help all of us,
right. They
may not accept it right away. Another thing that I realize, everybody calling in and complaining about the situation that they are going to be in. Now, if everybody have their situation corrected, what is going to happen? Which means nothing will be collected.
Nothing will be done.
Who will pay the bill? Nobody will pay the bill.
The government will pay it, whoever that is.
But how can the government pay?
So that's what people believe government should do. Look, you know how many people say, right? Mm. Sue the government. And I go, you understand is you're going to have to pay for it, right? The government ain't have no money, right?
Right.
No man, sue the government. Okay. So you can do what? Take it from the people in parliament? You can't do that.
But we paying the people in parliament.
But
also,
that's the truth. Well, exactly.
So I mean, I'm saying.
But people say so.
I'm saying to the people in the country, I don't want to pay anything more because I'm not getting for it. But I understand what's going on. And I'm really tired of hearing people. I understand how y'all feel. I understand what's going on. But somebody got to pay. Unless we're going to have a big country, or somebody coming and paying off all of these bills, putting some money up front and write off everything else from us, the persons who pay the taxes, who contribute, and let us start fresh. So none of us will have to pay any arrears, anything that we owe, and then we can go far from there. If that's not going to happen, it don't matter since we keep complaining because things ain't getting better. So I just want to say that, and Mr. Johnson, I am listening for knowledge every day, a little piece at a time. So stop going on the defense
and go back.
Going up.
I want to thank you on several levels. I want to say this to you as well. I made a comment yesterday to someone with whom I exchange pleasantries from time to time. I would like to call them a friend, but I will hesitate on that until they tell me it's okay to call them a friend. I said to them, the last couple of weeks have been stressful because there are times I felt like just either throwing away my phone or you know, putting it where I can't hear it at all because it would go off like about 26 or 30 times. And when I pick it up, it was always something about politics. It was never anybody saying, I love you real bad. I bring in something for you. And the person said to me, you licorice. And I laughed at it, okay? But the truth is that from time to time, and I mean, David's on vacation now, but he would tell you that there are times I would say to him, I just need a break from the program. And the reason is, in addition to being a moderator, I produce. So it means that I sit and hear the complaints of people at two levels, as the producer and as a moderator. And sometimes when you keep hearing people saying the same thing over and over and over, sometimes you hear a cry for help. Sometimes you hear just biased political opinion, which I have some difficulty with. Or sometimes you hear people who just want to make the moderator miserable. And as producer, sometimes I take on the weight. So I just need to sometimes just shut down, turn off the radio, say absolutely nothing to nobody. And just, as they say, cleanse. So, you know, there are times when I keep my opinions to myself. But I will keep your thoughts. It will keep me going. Now, I'm told that I have Marilyn Seeley online from Flow. Always good to hear from her, even if it means that we may be having a problem. Good morning, Marilyn.
Good morning, Dennis. How are you doing?
I am doing okay, and you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
When I hear you're on the line, I know there's either an update or something is not going well. So which is it this morning?
The latter, unfortunately. The latter, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. We just wanted to advise our customers that there's some disruption to our broadband, landline, TV, and mobile subscribers stemming from a series of ongoing power outages across the island.
Mm-hmm.
Due to inclement weather, we have engaged the Barbados Lighting Power, who at this point investigating the cause of the outage, and they're working to restore power in the shortest possible time. Mm-hmm. Of course, for us, once the power is reestablished on the national grid, we would expect our services to come back up very shortly. But we just wanted to alert our broadband, landline, TV, and mobile subscribers that we're experiencing some disruption to service due to ongoing power outages across the island.
You know, Marilyn, I thank you for making that call, because I've received a couple messages here that said, app's not working. And I said, what? And then I got another one saying, can you believe it started to rain and my power's gone? And then I got another message saying, I paid my bill. Have I heard, did you hear anything about electricity outage? I live in the husband's gardens and my electricity is off. So obviously there are people with some concerns. So thank you for allaying their fears, because again, you know, we've become so dependent. I keep saying this, and I got to ask you this. Does the company have backup power supplies anywhere for any of their services? Because I do know that whenever there is a disruption in the power supply or there's bad weather, the first thing people start doing is calling people crazily, you know. So is there a backup somewhere?
So we do have redundancy support, mm-hmm, for our mobile site, and okay, certainly for broadband, mm-hmm, but we are not quite sure what happened here. Okay. And we know that especially persons who are on our fiber network would experience outages because, as you know,
the landlines depend on electricity.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And they would have needed to have an uninterrupted power supply to ensure that they had some continued service at least for more than an hour.
Right.
So for persons who do not have this, obviously their services would be down, mm-hmm, but they're not to panic. There are some issues across the island, and we're working with the Barbados Lighting and Power to have them resolved ASAP.
Marilyn, now that you mentioned this, sorry to keep you on here, and I just throwing things at you. That's one of the things I wanted to have a chat with someone, especially you, about. At first, when my landline was changed to fiber, a UPS was installed without me asking for one. The second time I had it done, it was not. Was there a change in policy?
Yes, there was.
Okay.
So initially, we had the UPS and people were not utilizing them. And of course, it was a cost to the
company,
organization.
Mm-hmm.
And so we made a decision that we would stop issuing them. But we continue as we hook persons up to the fiber network, we continue to encourage them to at least have a uninterrupted power supply available, mm-hmm, for situations just as this.
Okay.
Such as this.
Okay, so it is still available for you if you want it, but you would have to apply for it and pay for it.
You can get it from any of the stores, Promotech, any of those stores that, mm-hmm, sell devices such as that.
Okay, good. Thank you very much, Marilyn, and we will of course await the good news that everything's back online. And I turned my phone off because I wasn't sure whether it was working, and I just got a message from you saying that you were trying to reach me. So thank you very much for sharing that with us, and hopefully we'll hear from the folks at the Barbados Light and Power Company. Someone sent me a note saying that there was a fire on a pole. I'll take that one until I hear from the team at the Barbados Light and Power Company, because I'm sure they'll tell us what's happening. 25-2, the West Indies against Sri Lanka in St. Lucia. I hope the rain that's in Barbados doesn't make its way across the oceans to the Helen of the West. We won't win this match. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning to you, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, and you?
I'm doing wonderful, Mr. Johnson. How was your Father's Day? You celebrated it or you didn't?
So I, my Father's Day was Father's Day. Let me leave that one there. My Father's Day was Father's Day.
Yeah, wonderful. Mr. Johnson, the reason why I called this morning is because, and you would have heard me sometime last year speaking directly to this issue. And a lot has to do with the social partnership and the talk now that is going around as it relates to the social partnership laying prostrate with the new administration. Now, so I want to cast your mind back. I know that you're a good student of history. I want to cast your mind back to when the National Social Responsibility Levy, the NSR, was moved from 2% to 8%. Now, when on the day of the budget, when the Minister of Finance, former Minister of Finance spoke, he made it lucidly clear, Mr. Johnson, that the NSRL was government's preferred method of revenue. Now, you and I know, Mr. Johnson, that in law words have meanings. You must listen to people when they are speaking. He said that there's government's preferred method of revenue collection. That is it. That is in the budgetary statement of the former Minister of Finance. Good. Now, when the union sought to make an application for their constituents for the I think it was 23% salary increase for salary and wages, they were invited to the Hilton Hotel. Now, having been invited to the Hilton Hotel, it was a big charade, you recall, it was carried live, and they were told that the tax was temporary. Now, remember, the Minister of Finance said that it was government's preferred method of revenue collection. Now, here's the irony, Mr. Johnson. Now, government's wage bill in this country is $50 million every month for salary and wages. Now, all of us know that salary and wages are recurring expenditures, Mr. Johnson. The challenge that I have with the last administration is that they have asked the unions at that particular point in time to give the NSR from July to September the opportunity to perform, and then they will come back to the negotiating table as to if they would accept the 23%. Now, Mr. Johnson, for the life of me, I did not understand how on a temporary tax that the government was seeking to negotiate salary and wages on a temporary tax. Now, when they came back in October and said to the unions that it only yields $50 million. Now, I'm not a mathematician, Johnson, Mr. Johnson, but if government salary and wages is $50 million monthly, and it took 3 months for the NSR, the 8% addition to the two that took it to 10, took them 3 months to yield just over $50 million. It means then that government could not have been serious in negotiating salary and wages on the receipt of the NSR. Now, the new government coming in, and there are no their cordial meetings with the union, to the extent that a 5% salary increase across the board was sought by the new administration in 18 days. Now, Mr. Johnson, with that said, how then can someone in good conscience be saying now that the unions, the social partnership, are now laying prostrate with the new administration in circumstances where, Mr. Johnson, that they were not being truthfully told how they will be they intend to go about negotiating the salary and wages? Because, Mr. Johnson, the truth is that if you come to a bargaining table and that you have not present the facts as they are, and that people can see through what you are presenting, then, one, it begs the question as to if there's some measure of dishonesty at the table. So for someone to be coming now to say to the people of this country that the unions are now laying prostrate with the government, Mr. Johnson, it is a farce and should not be accepted as any serious conversation to be had by any right-thinking individual in this country. And I say so, Mr. Johnson, because we cannot continue to go a path. If you are leading a country, you must be first and foremost be truthful to those persons to whom you have negotiations with. And part of the challenge that the unions had with the previous administration is that there was a lot of hostility as it relates to the two parties involved. They were shouting across the street to each other. When in proof and fact, Mr. Johnson, what should have obtained was that there should be always cordial discussions and negotiations going forward. But you see, when people doesn't have the way at all and are not prepared to have an honest discussion as it relates to the way forward, it results in the shouting across the street.
Sir, I have had robust discussions with people from time to time. They have lifted their voice. I have lifted my voice. Look, I know you've protested on more than one occasion that you couldn't see how a temporary tax could solve an ongoing, what is a lasting problem, which is financing the salaries and wages. On the question of the preferred NSRL, the challenge with the NSRL was always going to be how the businesses in Barbados would respond to a cash flow situation, because you had to pay it up front and then hope that people bought the goods or the services you provided after you added the NSRL to it. So it was not a businessman-friendly tax. When you have a tax that's not businessman-friendly, you're going to run into problems, because although you have more consumers than you have business people, you're going to run into problems, one. Two, once businessmen have a problem, it will be passed on to the consumer. And if the consumer has a problem, the businessman will eventually have a problem, because the goods will sit there and nothing will happen to it. It won't be sold. So what was happening over a period of time was increased levels of taxation was bringing in lower levels of revenue, while our demands on those revenues remained constant or was being increased. Until we change that method of financing our needs, we will continue to be faced with this problem. That's why Sir Lloyd Erskine Sandiford asked how we got back here again. We have to have a serious look at our finances, how they're managed, how they're disbursed, how they're collected, and do it in such a way that we have buy-in from the general public. So far, the Minister of Finance, the Prime Minister, has been engaging the public at every level and talking to them, which will appease people for a while because of the dramatic change. When taxes actually start being applied and people start seeing it in their pocket, we will then see how they react, whether they react favorably, whether they tighten their belts, or whether they get upset. What is happening that I find interesting, and electricity is being returned in some areas, so the Barbados Light and Power Company is at work on that problem. There was something that was burning in St. Philip. I am told I got WhatsApp messages and videos all over the place. Unfortunately, as I keep telling the people who send voice messages or videos, I can't look at it while I'm talking and the microphones are on, because more than likely if there's audio, it will be played and, you could hear Graham answering the phone. We're sitting across from each other too. Okay? Now, what I was saying though, we have to take a serious look at this revenue and, more importantly, explanations from the various agencies as to how they will be applied. This gasoline tax, for example, up to now, there's another WhatsApp message here again, because I've tried to explain it over and over and over. People seem to believe that I'm the person applying it. I am not. Let me repeat. I've asked in Trinidad, Jamaica, in Dominica, and places where gasoline has been used as the collection point for a road tax, how it operates. So that's why I give the explanation that I've been given. The explanation I've given did not come from the government of Barbados, and I am not speaking on behalf of the government of Barbados. So here's the person saying, can you explain how the fuel tax will work if you understand it? That is, will I see one value at the pump as a consumer, or what is paid when I fuel up differs from customer to customer in terms of the 45 cents charge? Now, first off, it's not 45, it's 40. And Again, fuel in Barbados is regulated by the government and is sold to the various outlets by a government-controlled agency. NSRL of 12 cents is included in the price of fuel you pay now. Last week, the price of fuel was increased. It had nothing to do with the NSRL. It had nothing to do with the surcharge of 40 cents, which will go on from the 1st of July. It has to do with fuel prices going up and down using whatever formula is used by the agency that imports fuel into Barbados. When the NSRL is abolished, the 12 cents that's currently included in the cost of fuel will come out. It will be replaced by a 40 cents surcharge that will be applied to road, this thing called road tax. Hopefully it will go into a fund to pay for the road and nothing else, but that is to be defined by government. So, let me walk over what I was trying to say. When you go to the pump, if fuel is $5 per liter, you will pay $5 per liter and fill your tank. If the price of gasoline is $3 per liter, you will pay $3 per liter and fill your tank. Or put in how much ever you want to put in. The price at the pump is not going to change by 40 cents or 45 cents every time you buy gas. It's not. So, if you have a Range Rover that used to pay $1,600 a year in road tax, all you got is a disc on your car that said you paid $1,600. I have a Suzuki Grand Vitara. I paid $450. I got the same disc that you got for my $450 and nothing else. It said I paid $450 for road tax. That tax actually went into the consolidated fund, which the road then had to ask for some to fix the road. Okay, good. Two, if your tank is 40 liters and my tank is 40 liters, when you fill it at $5 per liter, you pay $5.4, $200. When I put it, I pay $5.4, $200. We both pay $200 in tax in gas and get it in our car. 40 cents will go per liter, will go to road tax. So you'll pay $16 road tax and I'll pay $16 road tax. Okay? Good. Here's the difference. We have gas in our car and we will use it. So if you live at the Rock in St. Peter and you work at the airport and you go to Six Roads every day for lunch and then on Fridays you go for a drink at Hoodies or you go to Moontown for some Sea Cat and you drive up and down and have some leisure time, your $200 may last 2 weeks. So if you're a taxi driver, it may last a week if you do a lot of business. If I live in Beckles Road and come here to work at Starcom Network, get my groceries from Jordan's, put it in my car and go back home and walk to the beach, my $200 will last a month, so I will pay $200 a few times less than you will. That is it. Simple. Now, if you want to sit down and work out how much actually going to road tax and how much not, sit down and work out now how much goes to NSRL and how much does not, and see whether you're better off or you're worse off or whether it affects you because you're taking your children to dancing or not. As I said, last week, the cost of fuel went up. Tell me who you see not going to swimming, dancing, or the beach as a result of fuel going up last week. Not a soul, sir. Nobody. Because we still put in $20 in the gas in the car every time we want to go somewhere. And we get $20 in gas. Somebody keeps sending a message over and over telling me to play Kirk Brown's This Party Can't Over, right? I tell them this is Brass Tacks WhatsApp message. We don't play music. They ask me when Brass Tacks will be over. According to the public, it will never be over. 434. I love the entertainment community in Barbados. If you have to send a WhatsApp message to every radio station three times a day asking them to play somebody's song, that's not how this radio station works. I'm just telling you. Keep sending the message. I'll ignore it.